Good morning. It's kind of different seeing you at the end of the stuff rather than the beginning. I'm super excited to be here, shocker, because I have waited about 12 years for this day, because I was sure when I started walking with the Lord that I was supposed to share everything that He showed me. So I was forever calling to Him and being like, this is what God showed me, you know. When do I get to share it? But the Lord told me, we chatted about it, and I promised that I would not bug Daryl to let me talk, and that I would wait until Daryl came and asked me to speak, and then that would be my turn. So 12 years later, it's for real, you know. But I'm excited about the opportunity and what the Lord has for us today. So we'll pray right quick. Lord, I just lift this time up to You. I pray that the words that come out of my mouth are from You, nothing more, nothing less. Lord, I pray that this would be communicated the way that You wanted it to be communicated, Lord, that the hearts here would be cheered up, stirred up, and built up. And we just put this time before You now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Matthew 6, verse 33, I'm sure you're familiar, and it says that seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And when I was asking the Lord what to talk to you about, part of it, I want to share with you what happened with Sophia that Sunday, but I want to also help you get to that day and to share with you some of the practical things that the Lord has shown me over the past 12 months. Y'all know it's been a desert of hopelessness, and so I'm excited about what the Lord has to do with that. So I wanted to share with you some of the things that He's taught me along the way and maybe give you some practical pointers as you're walking through things that you can apply for your own life. But going back to seeking ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, when you start walking with the Lord and you're chasing after Him, a lot of times He's going to bring in different things. Maybe it's, a talent. Maybe it's business success. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a new child. Just different things. Everybody here has their different things that they're looking for. And God really cares about our faith, not so much the thing that He's bringing in, but our faith and how we're applying our faith in that thing. And and I'm going to give you some examples of things that maybe I didn't do so well, too. But when I started into the activity level and what I call it a health journey, I had a lot of success to start off with. And there came a point where I started wanting that activity more than I did spending time with God. And I didn't know how to get out of that cycle. I knew it was there. And so what happens is when you do that, like John was talking about earlier, you start having an idol in your life because you put that thing before God. And it can be a relationship. It can be your job. It can be your workouts. It can be a lot of different things. But the Lord, when it talks about Him being a jealous God, it's not jealous as in you can't have any of these things. It's jealous as in I want your full attention on me, and I will give all these things unto you as you're focusing on me. And as we spend that time, God's got success for each and every person in here and in every area of your life. And so I want to be sure as I'm communicating that you are aware as you start experiencing that to stay true to your time with the Lord, because the enemy will try and get you off track with that. And in that, as you're going through these different things and chasing the Lord, I used to think that, when you talk about walking on your path with the Lord, you know, you're walking, and if you fall, then you get back up, but you stay focused and you stay on that path. And as I was going through different lifestyle changes and trying to be more healthy, I was blessed with a coach who just spirit-filled coach. And we started talking about how God has everything set up. And he has everything set up in seasons, but he has it set up in a cycle. If you look at his patterns in Genesis when he was doing the days, you've got morning and night. You've got your seasons. You've got months. You've got weeks, days, minutes, and seconds. And he set that up, and that doesn't go in a straight line. It actually goes in a circle. And as you walk with the Lord, I've got a little diagram to help you out with that. I have a tendency to be very black and white. This is the way it is, and if I don't do it just so, then I've completely botched it. And that's a very legalistic way to look at things. And it sets you up to fail. And so what the Lord has shown me is that rather than looking at, and I don't know if you can really see the circle that I drew, but rather than looking as your walk as a straight line, you look at it in a circle, in a season. And the way that this really helped me to be able to think about things is when I mess up on something, I don't stop and, okay, I'm going to have to get back up. I'm going to have to go through the strongholds. I need to get rid of the strongholds and any demons that I've allowed in, and I need to get that taken care of. I need to make sure I forgive everybody, you know, and that kind of thing. But what I find in doing with this is you keep walking. You don't stop in that, and your walk with the Lord doesn't stop in that moment just because you made a mistake. And the cool thing is that rather than trying to do this huge overhaul, you set it up as you're coming through the next week. All right, this week I'm gonna do better on this. Maybe you're trying to deal with a behavior or a habit or something like that. And when you set your mind in more of a seasonal thing, a cycle, rather than a straight line, then that's giving you a little bit of grace to make that mistake, but still get back on track, you know. And that way it's not quite as intense when you fall. And in this book, God Calling, it talks about Peter. It says, Peter never would have done my work but for the tender love with which I enwrapped him. Not from the anger of my father who was all love did I need to protect him, nor from scorn of my enemies, nor from the resentment of my friends, but no, from the hatred of Peter himself for his mistakes. And so to my followers today, as then, there comes shame and remorse and contempt of themselves, of the weak part of ourselves. And I just lost my place. Oh, okay. They meant to be so strong and brave for me, but then I have to protect them, or they never could have the courage to fight and conquer. But this facing of the human self must come. So you must be one who runs a race, stumbles and falls, and rises and presses on to the goal. What avails it if he stays to examine the spot where he fell, to weep over the delay or the short-sightedness that prevented his avoiding the obstacles? So with you, I lay it on you today as a command, no more looking back. Give yourself and all you have ever met a fresh start from today. Remember no more their sins or failures or your own. And looking in that cycle type thinking, it reminds me that I can forgive myself and keep on going. Because that's what God does. I mean, he's already forgiven us for those different things. And the reason I'm bringing this up is this past year has been I don't want to say the worst year. It's been the hardest year that I've ever gone through. But not the worst year, because I'm now at a spot that I wouldn't trade what I've gotten for what happened, you know? But if you ask me on my take of the way I walked it out, I didn't do good all the time, you know? There was some places that it just didn't look pretty. I didn't make the right choices. I didn't speak out what I was supposed to speak out. And there were times where I really didn't even feel like I could get it out of my mouth. But God is faithful on that. He is so faithful. And one of the things that I learned about was that even grief comes in cycles. And so as I'm going on this journey and I'm trying to get back on track, and, you know, Elaine and I do a lot of of the integrative ministry stuff. So I pretty much got those lists of strongholds memorized. I can tell you if something starts manifesting and you know, that's what this stronghold is. Let's go after it. Let's get it, you know. And so I called her up and I told her, I said, Elaine, I'd like for you to minister to me. I feel like I'm kind of going backwards. And I was ready to, I had my list. You know, I'm going to check it off. We're going to get rid of rejection. We're going to get rid of victim and shame. And we're going to get rid of all this stuff because I'm not walking in it because I'm supposed to be a victor in Christ, right? And we get there, and that's not what the Lord started leading us to do. He started leading Elaine to deal with that day of the accident of actually dealing with the wound that was there and the hurt. And one of the things that I learned is that God is more concerned about healing my wounds than judging my mistakes. I'm going to say that again. God is more concerned about healing our wounds than judging our mistakes. And that was very powerful for me. And I take away that, taking away... a takeaway from that for me, because I can be very matter-of-fact about certain things. I can tell you that I've judged people and things they were going through. Well, I wouldn't do it like that. If I was, you know, I'd get up in there and I'd just push on through, you know. And it so has not happened that way. I have truly been humbled and brought to a breaking place through this past process. But I don't care because it's good. So I started, rather than worrying about strongholds, I started asking the Lord about wounds and the wounds that other people were dealing with. And when you start asking the Lord about wounds and hurt places that His people are dealing with, this compassion thing starts coming forth. And I don't always have compassion for people. I was more of a coach type person. Now I'm still a coach and I'll still tell you not to quit and get in there and keep on going. But I would do it in a compassionate tone of voice. You know. But having compassion and understanding that God isn't necessarily looking for perfection from us. He wants our heart and He wants our love. And if He has that, He's gonna handle the rest. And y'all know me. I'm such a type A personality. I'm sorry. I used to be a type A personality. I think I'm starting to shift. Or at least become more balanced. Amen. I know Jim's like, thank you, God, for the work you're doing in my life. But God is more concerned about our wounds than judging for our mistakes. And I know that a lot of us, I mean, you know, if, when you love the Lord, you want to live that life. You want to make the good choices and things like that. That's what you do when you love Him. And so I want to encourage you that another thing that I learned is that when you are making a change, that consistency is the key. Not necessarily making this huge overhaul, but find one thing, you know, because if we're still looking at life rather than just one straight parallel line, and if I fall off, everything's gone down the drain. But you look in a circle thing, then we're looking for something that's going to be consistent and that you can maintain. And once you start getting that under your belt, then you can go to the next thing. And what ends up happening is you start getting momentum, all right? So, one takeaway from today is rather than trying to overhaul, just ask the Lord one thing that you can make a change on. If that's what He's asking, and it could be a good change, I mean, you know, whatever. The Lord is showing you with that. And if the next step is unclear, I've had a lot of times where I didn't stop. I went ahead and bulldozed through it, kind of like a bull in a china cabinet. But I'm learning now that if Jim and I don't have a clear voice, we just gotten to a point where we just stop and wait rather than bulldoze through something. Because God's going to show you every point that you need to get to. When you come to that crossroads, He's going to show you which way to go. And it's fun to watch Him meet your needs, too, when you kind of take a step back and like, I'm going to let you do this, God. And He's probably like, finally, you know, thank you. So those are just a couple things that I learned about. Talking about the grief part in cycles, this church is set up, we're not so much like people hurting come to a hospital. We're in the field, we're in the battlefield, and part of our training has been to do the triage in the battlefield. Not everybody's going to come to a Sunday church service. Not everybody's going to do that. Or even if they do, that might not be the appropriate time. And the Lord is equipping us to be able to meet that person where they're at in that moment, to be the hands and feet of Jesus on that. And we've also talked about, how there's been so many experiences in our church. So we know that if somebody gets a cancer diagnosis, we know that we've got people that have dealt with that, and so we assume that those are going to be the one to minister to them. But I want to let you know that this doesn't take you off the hook of ministering to them as well, because there's things that we can do, even if we haven't had the experience, whether it's just to sit down with them and tell them, I'm so sorry you're going through this. Some of the things, because with the diagnosis that I had, it's a confusing diagnosis. I don't completely understand it myself, but the things that ministered to me the most was when somebody would just sit down and be like, I'm so sorry you're going through this. I know you're having a tough time, and I'm so sorry. And that ministers to the heart of the person. But Daryl was talking about anxiety, and I'm learning that anxiety comes in when you think there is a limited supply of what you need. And I'm going to say that again. Anxiety comes in when you think there is a limited supply of what you need. So if you're needing something from the Lord and you think there's a limited supply, like you might not get it, that causes anxiety because you need something and you don't think you're going to get it. And one of the biggest lies that the enemy did in the garden was to convince, what was her name? I'm just kidding. To convince Eve that the Lord was holding out on her. And it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, you shall not, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree? Has he indeed said that? Really? I can't believe he would say that. Carrie-isms. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And what he did there is he made Eve think that God was holding out on her. And that's one of the lies I think that we deal with today, is that God's going to hold out on me. And then we get anxiety thinking, well, I need these things and I'm not going to get them. And how do you deal with that? Because I mean, the I think the proper term of that is doubt. But it's also based in a lie of what you think, that God's not going to give you every good thing. He's not going to just give it to you. You're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to suffer. We got trials and tribulations. You're aware of it. So cheer up, but you're still going to have to suffer. Sorry, Daryl, I didn't mean that, but that God's holding out on you. And when you believe that God's holding out on you, then you feel like, well, I'm going to have to go do this myself. And then you go do it yourself, and then you got a big fat mess. And take it from me, because I'm more like a, let's just get it done. Let's just get it knocked out. Just get it done. And that doesn't work so well. So looking at how do you deal with that? How do you walk through that? And we've been dealing with Psalm 40, and the verse that I really like the best, it says, I didn't give up waiting for the Lord. And he turned to me and heard my cry patiently. So if you're looking at doing something patiently, then that means you don't give up waiting. And, y'all, I don't like to wait. I just don't. It's just not in my DNA. But it is in my spiritual DNA. And patience is the ability to bear affliction, delay, and interruption with calmness, perseverance, and confidence in the goodness of God. And Jesus said, forgive them. So going back to the patience thing, it's talking about your attitude. The ability to bear affliction, delay, and interruption with calmness, perseverance, and confidence in the goodness of God. I did not give up waiting for the Lord. And I can't tell you why my knee hasn't manifested the healing. I don't understand. I don't spend a lot of energy thinking about it, to be honest with you. Y'all know I'm loud and can be loud when I'm talking to the enemy, but in the past 12 months, it's been more of a very quiet, Lord, I know that I don't understand this, but I know that you've got it, and I'm just trusting you with it, and I don't know what else to do. And so I learned that it doesn't have to be a production to be productive. That those still voices, he still hears them. You might have heard it more because I didn't preempt it with a bunch of, we need to talk, you know, and kind of going from there. One of the other things that I learned is that when Jesus was on the cross and he told the Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do, he was also saying that they don't know who they're doing it to. Think about that for a second. Not just that they don't know what they're doing, that they're hurting this person, but they didn't know that they were doing it to the Son of God, to the one person who never did anything wrong in his life, who was perfect. And therefore, when things happen to us, and we are of that same lineage, they don't know who they're doing it to. And honestly, I think some of us don't know who we are, to be honest with you. I thought I did, but I'm still learning a lot more. One of the lies that I've believed, you know, going back to the strongholds, is under the unloving stronghold. And I used to think that that meant either you weren't treated lovingly or you didn't behave lovingly. And what I'm understanding as I'm going through this process is that one of the biggest lies I believed is that I am unlovable. And I don't know where that came in, and I'm still working and asking the Lord to show me that, because I know that it's not true. I know now that it's not true. Because I could never understand, you know, all these people love you, so why don't you feel loved? You know what I mean? Why don't you feel full and have the joy of the Lord? And so when the accident happened, part of me kind of expected something to happen, because things like that just don't work out for me. And that's a lie too. So I made a declaration earlier about not being angry with the Lord, and that was true. But I had this emotion towards the Lord. And the cool thing that I really think about God is he is more interested in our relationship than he is for us to be prim and proper in front of him. He is more interested in you just being honest with him and telling him what you really think, how you really feel. It doesn't matter if you're having doubts about him. Because I've had my faith just rocked to the core this past year. I mean, just rocked. So rather than botch it, I've really been kind of quiet before the Lord. But the picture that I the picture that I do the best with the Lord is the picture of marriage. And so I was talking to my psychologist, and I told him that Jesus and I were having marital issues right now. And we're just trying to work them out, okay? You know, we still love each other, you know, but we're just having some marital issues that we're trying to work out. And I realized that part of what I was feeling is that as I felt betrayed, I felt like I had stood up in front of you guys and praised him and just gave him all the glory for all these successes, you know. And then this car thing comes up, and it just, everything's been taken. And I didn't understand. So the cool thing about God is when he brings you to a place, he doesn't bring you to leave you there. Thank you, Jesus. And one of the things, the verses that he took me to was Isaiah 62. And Joyce Meyer laughs like that when she's having a moment with the Lord, you know. I was just seeing if it worked. But anyway, the word says, "You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land any more be termed desolate. But you shall be called Hetzbah, and your name Beulah, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you." I think that pretty much takes care of the whole unlovable lie. You know what I mean? Says, "I've set watchmen on your walls." He must have been aware of Humpty Dumpty, John. "They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who made mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest until he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth." Moving down to 10, it says, go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, and build up the highway. Take out the stones and lift up a banner for the people." It says, indeed the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion that surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. They shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Amen. That's good stuff. So, looking at different things, the other thing that I have learned is that God is more concerned about us walking in wisdom and love than following all the rules. And if I had followed all the rules, that the neat thing that had happened with Sophia wouldn't have happened. Jim and I had been trying to start a family for about a year and a half before the accident had happened, and I've just kind of given that to the Lord. It's not like I can do it myself. And it's been a peaceful time just to kind of give to him. And when you're ready, and however it comes, you know, Jim and I have talked about adoption. And I had this conversation with my dad about, you know, foster kids. And the only thing about foster children that made me a little bit nervous is I think I would get attached, you know. And when they come in and I get attached, and then if they left, then my heart's going to be broken. And I just wasn't sure that I'm in a selfless enough place to do that. And my dad made mention to me, you know, that's when you do that, that's because you're going to focus on what that person needs. It's not about that foster child meeting a need for you. So we had talked about that some, and I still daydream about baby names all the time. You know, Jim's like, "We don't need to talk about it till it's here," but I daydream about it all the time. You know, I'm sorry. You know, so, and I'm like, "Well, what about this name?" And da da da. Well, we'll just deal with it when it gets here. So, but I can talk Jesus all day long, you know. So I'm sitting there and I'm talking to the Lord, and he gives me the name Sophia. It's about 3 months ago. And I was like, "Sophia?" I was like, "I like that name. That is a very pretty name. I bet that's probably going to be for my daughter." And I didn't think much about it other than I just kind of put it on the back burner. Because the last time I had been given a name, it was the name Riley. And that's when, you know, I got that name. And then about 6 months later, I thought that was for a child, too. And then I ended up going through a divorce. But then I ended up meeting my real estate client from this church. And when I was doing the contract for him, I was like, "What's your full name?" He was like, "James Riley Greason Jr." I choked on my milkshake. I was like, "Well, just sign here so you can buy the house." I didn't know he was buying our house. "You sign here so you can buy the house." And I ran home to tell my mom. You know, because I tell her just about everything, and I'm like, you know, "It must be the Lord putting us together." She's like, "Yes," and I've got so much to go through. And then she just stopped. She said, "It doesn't mean a thing. We're not even going to worry about it right now, because if it's supposed to be there, then it'll be there when it's time to come." But so I know that the Lord's given me some names, and they're significant from time to time. I'm just kidding. All right, so I was excited that Sunday morning. I felt good. And I was going to come and tell y'all how, you know, my knee was doing better. And the medications I take, sometimes I just, they make me feel sick and I didn't feel good. So I started getting really, on the way here to church, I started getting really upset because I didn't feel good, and I almost turned around that morning. I almost turned my car around, and then that just made me really, really angry. And I was like, you know what, Lord? I'm over it. I'm over it. I will do whatever you, if you want me to walk up in that church, lay face down on the floor to get something from you, I will do it. If you want me jumping up and down, I will do it. I was like, they know that they love me anyway, and so if I feel like you're telling me to do something that's just crap, I will do it, because I am expecting you to meet you. I need you to meet me in a big way, because I'm hurting, and I'm expecting something big from you this morning, you know? You're still crying. And I would encourage you not to say that unless you mean it. But I did mean it. I meant it. And so I came in here, and Daryl asked me, you know, what was going on. And I was like, I'm just having a tough morning, and I was crying a little bit. And then I overheard somebody talk about, you know, Chris had brought somebody to church. He had brought a girl to church. And I was like, oh, where's she at? I was like, I don't know what she looks like. I wonder what the story there is. Y'all know how we do it. So I was looking at his fair. So I go in, and I decided that, you know, I need to make sure and welcome her. And I want to put just a well done to you guys, because we have come so far welcoming people that come into our church from where we used to be, making sure that they feel welcome, that they know that we love them, that we care about the fact that they came here. And so that's just exciting. So I had, all right, Chris has brought a girl. I'm having a rough morning. It doesn't matter. I'm going to make sure I say hey to her. You know, so I go into the bathroom, and there's this chick in there, and she's putting on her makeup and cleaning up and stuff. And I was like, that must be Chris's girl, but I'm not really sure what the deal is going on there, you know. So she turned around. She introduced her name as Sophia. And she was like, do you have any deodorant? I said, it's in my car. I'll go get it. So I go to my car, and I get some deodorant. And I had some mace in there. I had some bear mace from this thing. And I'm realizing that she's got this pack. She told me she'd been on this walking journey. So I got this thing of mace, and I took it back with me. And I was like, I felt like the Lord said to give you this mace, too. And she was like, he has been fitting me up with spiritual weapons and, you know, just different things. I was like, well, I don't think this is a spirit. I mean, if you spray it, it's going to spray, you know. And she was like, no, I understand that. So she was telling me about that. And I'm starting to notice her clothes. And she's sweet as she can be. But, I mean, you know, she didn't smell too good, you know. So I'm standing there, and she's telling me about her walking journey. And I'll be honest, there's only one time since I've been hit by the car that I thanked the Lord for this knee injury, and it was in that moment, because I was like, thank you, Lord. You are not calling me to go walk out on some highway and just kind of go on, you know, because I just, So I told her, I was like, you have fun with your, I'm all about it, you know. So I lay hands on her, and, you know, you do your thing. How else can I, I was like, I've got a pair of shorts if you would like them. And she was like, well, these look kind of clean. I was like, no, they're not. I was like, let me go get you some shorts. You know, so I went and did that, and I came back in, and I got a shirt too. And I had this bracelet that a friend of mine had made. It was like this braided bracelet. It was too small for my wrist, but it fit hers. So I was like, well, the Lord's telling me to give you this. And she was like, oh, cool. She's like, what's it for? I was like, I don't know. But we'll come back to it. We'll figure it out, you know. So I give her some articles of clothing and different articles of clothing too, just, you know, what she needed. And I went back out to my car. And the funny thing, I've got to tell this part, Chris, I'm sorry. It was Chris, he was so loyal. He was standing out. Every time I come out of the bathroom, he's like, what are y'all doing in there? You know, and I was like, it's girl stuff, and I've got it. You know, I've got it. You know, I don't understand what's going on. I've got this bottle of perfume. It's a little bit, I've had it since Jim and I got married. That means I've had it for like this little thing of perfume for 6 years. And so I'm giving her all my stuff. I found there was a blanket in my car. You know, she could put it with her backpack. And I went to get my walking stick. And when I went to get my walking stick, the Lord told me to give it to her because he said I wouldn't need it anymore. And I thought, am I healed? You know? And I wasn't. It hadn't manifested, but I realized that he was taking me out of the season that I had been in. All right, so I was gonna give him all these things that I had held on to so tight. I didn't want to give them up. I did not want to give them up. Not the things for Sophia. I'm talking about all the activities stuff. I was fine giving her stuff. And so we go back in the bathroom. We haven't even made it to church at this point. She's so bad. I'm like, here, take some perfume. Let me spray it on you. And the Lord was like, give her the bottle. And I was like, oh, this is my favorite perfume. But it only took me a split second, and I was like, here, you can have it. Because what an honor it is to spill your perfume over his feet. That was so cool. So I told her, you know, and I really thought that was kind of, you know, what else do you need? I'll, what else do you need? And she needed some shoes. Those shoes were tore up. And I said, I will go buy you some shoes when we're done. I want to buy you a pair of shoes. And we'll go to Target and we'll do that. And so the whole service, it kept going through my mind. I was like, she needs a place to sleep. She needs a place to take a shower. She needs to wash her clothes. And I couldn't figure out how to put all this together, you know. But we have an extra bedroom. And I was like, you know what, Lord? I mean, I'm open. If you want to do this, I will do it. I have never invited a stranger to my house, much less to spend the night like that. And I wasn't completely sure that's where we were going, but I was open to it. And so I called Jim on the phone, and this is, I'm so crazy. I was like, this is what God's doing. I think you might want to bring her home. So you need to clean out the room. I'll text you and let you know, okay? All right. That's like Jim's excited face. Okay. Are you mad? Not really. Cool. So, I love you so much. So we're at Panera. And I find out that she, because I couldn't figure out how to get her to my house and back here or whatever she needed to be. And so we, in the process of talking, I found out that she just needed to get back to I-40. And so that's what we were going to do. And on the way to Target, in Panera, I asked her if she wanted to come back to my house and spend the night with me. And I was like, you'll have a safe place to stay. I'll wash your clothes. You can take a shower. And I'll take you back to the highway. And she was like, yeah. So we're on the way to Target. Now, we went with Anna George, and that was funny. That Target will never be the same. Because I can't drive one of those scooters for nothing. I kept bumping into the different things, and it would hook on the aisle, you know, and they'd have to unhook me. I don't know what the problem was that day. I usually do a much better job. But we went with Anna, and Anna's done a lot of hiking, and so we were able to sit there and go over and buy her clothes and things like that. And while we were there, the Lord told me, he was like, you're going to name your daughter after her. And I'd forgotten about that name, Sophia. And I was like, all right. But Sophia kept talking about how that she has mom and dad, but she's always felt very orphaned in that relationship. And the Lord was just doing something in my heart. I don't know. I mean, he just was. And I just wanted to love on this girl. You know, I wanted to step in any way that I could. So I took her home, and she was telling me, she's like, I'm one of the most unorganized person in the world, and I don't know how to really organize anything. And I was like, oh, you just don't know who Jesus brought you to, because we'll just dump everything out and get it organized, put back in, set up, you'll be ready to go. And it turns out her favorite color was pink. Another bonding moment. We were good. But while we were there, I was able to start giving her some of the endurance clothes from the races that I had done. And there was all this stuff that I had used in my racing, and it just met her need, and it made it so good to be able to give that up in that way, you know, to where you're giving it to God, it's not being taken away from you. And I even gave her the pink running skirt. That was very important to me. But she looks so cute. So I gave that to her. The funny thing, when she got there and she went to take a shower, she took the longest shower ever. And Max, my German Shepherd, sits out, and he's sitting by the bathroom door. He sat outside that door for an hour waiting for her to get out of there. And I couldn't figure out what, and I was knocked on the door. I was like, are you okay? She was like, this is the best shower ever. I have used every product that is in here at least once. And I've just really just been enjoying all this stuff. Yeah, because I got the good, I mean, you know, got an exfoliator, we got the lotion, your baby, I mean, just all this stuff. She was like, so I just wanted to use everything. I was like, take your time. So we did that, and I helped her put everything together. Then we got ready to, we were just hanging out in my room, and I saw my wedding band, and I felt like the Lord wanted to give her a ring. And I wasn't going to give her my wedding band because I asked the Lord, let me say that. I didn't say it with an attitude. I was like, really, do you want me to give it? And then I remembered there was this ring that I had gotten from somebody maybe 6 months ago, and it is in the shape of a heart, and it looks like an engagement ring, and the Lord told me to give it to her. And I said when I gave it to her, you know, with this ring, I'd be wed. But then the Lord was like, I have to ask her first. I was like, right. And I was like, the Lord wants to invite you into a deeper commitment with Him. He wants to be in that place, the lover of your soul. And usually when you do that, you get a symbol of His love. So let me put this ring on your hand. And she is so cute. She's like, really? I was like, really? And she was just super cute and told me different stories. But in that moment, my purpose was to give her and meet her where she was in those needs. Even though we could have gone to a whole other spiritual realm and all that stuff, in that moment it was about meeting her where she was at for that. So it was cool. I was excited. She got tired. She decided to go to bed. And I'm feeling like a mom because, you know, be a gym or in the, you know, we're getting ready to go to sleep and she's safe. She's taking her shower. You know, she's let me love on her. And so I'm going to get up early and be ready to set her off. And it was just really cool. So we go to sleep, and I had to get up about 5:30, and I got in the shower. And then I heard, like, the most beautiful statement from the Lord, and it was just, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. And I cried because I don't feel like I've walked this past year very well. I don't feel like it's been a well done, good and faithful servant year. I feel like it's a, oh, my gosh, where has she been doing? But He did, and He started showing me that basically, even though I haven't run a physical marathon, I've been running a spiritual one. And that's what that means when it talks about racing. We don't do a sprint. We do a spiritual marathon. She let me sing over her that morning on the way to church. It was so cool. I just held her hand and sang and took her to I-40 and I prayed with her. We're still in touch. Brad and Shannon actually later that week went to Asheville and just a lot of neat stuff had happened with her and she settled down in Asheville. I told her, I was like, I really feel like this is a season for you. And that the highway's a weight, but God wants you to experience the mountaintops. And so she has gotten settled and she's got a job. She's got a place to stay. I'll probably go and see her, and she would love to come back and see you guys. But the Lord just started showing me that this has been, that I'm moving out of a season. It's not that something has been taken from me, but when you give something to God, then no one can take it away from you if you've given it to God. And that was such a healing place. Daryl, can we do the thing? I wanted you to see this this video. It's from Facing the Giants. I love it. I love that movie. And one of the things is that basically it's about not quitting when the tough. I mean, it doesn't have to look pretty. It's not always going to look pretty, but it's about not quitting. And you know, Daryl was talking about the desert of hopelessness. And the Lord was talking to me about that yesterday, too. I was like, you stole my thunder. But basically what the Lord wants you to know is that while you're walking through those deserts of hopelessness, that He can very easily lead you to an oasis, that He'll give you a time to rest if you will listen to Him. He will provide that for you. Just to catch you up on what's going on this video, I love that picture, too, on this movie. This is a football team, and everything's been going wrong for this coach. But he decided to stand up and tell the Lord that even if none of this happens, even if I lose my job and nothing goes right, I'm still going to serve you. I'm still going to love you, God, no matter what. And so this is him getting into the with the kids.
Got 5 minutes.
5 minutes? Yeah.
So he's ready to go?
Yeah. Let me get there. Let's see. Uh-oh. He's talking about
David, come here.
Getting them prepared.
This is your field goal. Put us on the
and
board.
They decided to have a new philosophy.
Then I'll leave the results up to him.
For their team.
I want to know if you'll join me.
Your attitude's like the aroma of your heart. If your attitude stinks, it means your heart's not right.
You sure is preachy today. What?
How's your attitude, Brock?
Fine.
Then you'll be okay with the death crawl, right?
Oh.
All right, everybody on the goal line. Get your partner. Let's go. All right, let's go. Show me something. 10 yards. Move it. Let's go, Matt. Let's go. Go, Giles. Show me something. 10 yards. Show me some power. No knees. Get your knees off the ground. Show me something. There we go. 10 yards. Show me some muscle. Show me some power. Give me some heart. Let's go. Very good, boy. Very good. Let's run it back.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50. I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground. Just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. There you go. It's going to be good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Not the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
Hey, done. Just resting a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit until you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you've got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. You're very bad. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm better on strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength. But don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn. It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You will see your back. Your back. Don't stop. Keep going.
tired of 50. I don't care anymore.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field in your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I'll wear 160.
It's hard to keep going when you can't see. But I just want to encourage you that when it's hurt and it's burning and you don't feel like you have any more strength, that the Lord is right there telling you, don't you stop, don't you quit, because He wants to take you to the end zone in every area. I also want to encourage you this week, that scene in there where He's talking about the kid being given the gift of leadership. Each one of us has that in here. We don't want to waste it. So the Lord's asking, can He count on you? Will you be the one who's going to step in? I'm going to. No doubt about it. So I hope you'll think about that. And whatever that means to you as far as just maybe even renewing your commitment to be more focused in it. Whatever that looks like, I don't know what that looks like for you. But I want to pray for you about it right quick. Lord, I thank you that you are a wonderful counselor, that you are a physician, and that you are our coach. I thank you, Lord, that that you want nothing but the best for us, that you want us in that victor spot, Lord. But more than that, you also want us to make sure that we don't leave anybody behind. Lord, I just pray that as we're walking that we will first ask you, Lord, about the wounds for each person, how you want us to communicate whatever we need to be with that person, Lord, that we could be your hands and feet. I pray, God, that all of this would just soak in deep, that it would just soak in deep today. You just don't quit. Don't stop. When it hurts, then you find a way to keep going. Don't you stop while you're going through it. And Lord, I thank you that even if we can't walk, that you are, that you'll be right beside us when we crawl. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.